Caleb, you don't realize it, but all three of those songs addressed points in my sermon. So that is neat when that happens. And then the songs that we had at the beginning, the foundation of our hope is built on Jesus Christ. And I just felt like that it was instruction from God, almost prophetic, for us to become alive and to be the body of Christ. Amen? Our scripture today is found in Luke 9, verses 28 through 36. See, you're not the only one that messes up. Me too. So hear the word of the Lord. About 8 days after Jesus said these things, he took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes flashed white like lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with him. They were clothed with heavenly splendor and spoke about Jesus' departure, which he would achieve in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were almost overcome by sleep, but they managed to stay awake and saw his glory as well as the two men with him. As the two men were about to leave Jesus, Peter said to them, "Master, it's good that we're here. We should construct three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he didn't know what he was saying. Peter was still speaking when a cloud overshadowed them. As they entered the cloud, they were overcome with awe. Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Even as the voice spoke, Jesus was found alone. They were speechless and at the time told no one what they had seen. Let us pray. Lord God, we just ask that you now prepare our hearts to hear and receive the message that you have for us today. You have already begun to speak to us in and through the worship of our songs. Lord, may we take them to heart and to continue to listen to what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. I am excited about this message that God has given to us today because I believe that it is God's instruction for us. And it is an honor to be able to be here and to speak with you today about this passage. And I always get excited whenever I see confirmation take place, such as the songs that we sung about today. But God is speaking to us as a church, and he is giving us instruction on how we are to be the church, how we are to be the community of faith, and he is calling us forth as a body of Christ. And so today is Transfiguration Sunday. We opened up and are called to worship with Transfiguration Prayer. And for those of you who do not know, that may be saying, "What in the world does transfiguration mean?" Well, I'm glad you asked. I will tell you. It means that it is the transformations of one person who from being ordinary to extraordinary. It means being transformed to shine brightly with the presence of God. And we are called to that. That's what it said in our first song that we sung about today, that to shine brightly with the glory of God. It is the very presence of God's magnificent glory shining through his chosen people to those who are in the world, to those who desperately need it. God's glory being revealed in and through Jesus Christ and in and through each one of us here today. Jesus went upon the mountain to pray, and he took Peter and James and John with him. And while he was there, the Spirit of God came upon him. And just as the Spirit of God came upon him at Jesus' baptism and came in the form of the dove, this happened again. The Spirit of God came upon Jesus, and he was transformed into dazzling white. And God said, "This is my son. Listen to him." Do we listen to Jesus, church? Are we listening? Our obedience to Jesus is a sign that we are listening to him That is important because obedience and listen are the two, come from the same Greek root word, obedir, and we get our word obedience. So that is why it is so important, not only to listen, but to be obedient. And when we encounter Jesus Christ in our lives, then we are transformed. We shine brightly with the presence of God in our lives. The manifestation of God's presence shines through us when we choose to love others. And Jesus calls us to love others. And that, my friend, is what transfiguration means. So you learned something new today. Peter, James, and John had a mountaintop experience with Jesus. Peter was in such awe of this mountaintop experience, he wanted to build a shrine. He wanted to build three shrines so that they could stay up on that mountain and they could enjoy the wonderful bliss. But notice, God wants us to worship him and not our mountaintop experiences. God wants us to worship him. We worship God with our lives by choosing to love those that God brings in front of us, that we choose to love others in the same way that God has loved us. And many of us have experienced those mountaintop experiences. We know what it's like when we've gone on a retreat or we've been somewhere and we're on this spiritual high and we feel like that we can conquer the world and that we have the answer to every problem that there is. We know what that's like. I can tell from the smiles on your face. Your face lights up. You remember those mountaintop experiences. And we feel really close to God and we feel like we know God's plan for us. But to freeze that moment in time shuts us off from the possibility of the next moment. And the gospel reading today from Luke gives us his version of the transfiguration. And Matthew and Mark record this event as well. So the events such as transfiguration, it somehow connects us to the mystery of God. It connects us to God and the mystery in his creation. You mentioned that in your prayer about how God paints the sky and a sunset. And also the mystery of all eternity. For Jesus, this was a time of confirmation. This was a time that it was being affirmed of what was about to happen, that Jesus was on the way to the cross and that he would die there. And for Peter, James, and John, it was just a little glimpse into what lay beyond the current reality. And for you and I, it is an opportunity for us to be encountered by Christ and for our lives to be transformed. And for us to move from ordinary into extraordinary. How many of you want extraordinary lives? But notice that Jesus led the disciples back down the mountain. In spite of Peter's desire to build that shrine and to stay there and to worship, Jesus took the disciples back down into the daily routine in life, back down into the teaching and the preaching and caring for those who were in need and ministering to them. Jesus led the disciples back into the reality of the everydayness of life. And everybody wants to stay on the mountaintop. It just seems to be more fun, or funner, if that's a if that's a word. But Jesus didn't leave them there. He brought them back down. Peter did not need to be guilty of making an idol out of his mountaintop experience. And we don't need to either. Our mountaintop experience should not supersede listening and being obedient to God. Peter, another reason why it wasn't good for him to build those shrines is because in the Old Testament times, shrines were built to worship the idols. And they would build that in a high place. It was known as a high place. And that was something that Peter did not need to be guilty of doing. Now, Peter, he needed that mountaintop experience, just like you and I need those mountaintop experiences as well, because it is there that he learned to listen to Jesus. And we need to learn to listen to Jesus. God himself helped Peter to understand that. But here's a little secret that you need to realize. Peter did not go up to the mountain to find God. God brought Peter up to the mountain. God found Peter. God revealed himself to Peter. You see, we don't go and find God up on the mountaintop. God is the one who finds us. God is the one who is in pursuit of us. And that just brings me great joy to know that he seeks us out. Now, there are a couple of more important facts that we need to notice about this story as well. If you'll look at verse 32, it says, Peter and those with him were almost overcome by sleep, but they managed to stay awake and they saw Jesus' glory as well as the two men with them. And if you'll remember, another place where the disciples were called by Jesus to stay and to pray was in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was wrestling with the call to go and to die upon that cross. And here we have it again that the disciples are trying to go to sleep. And so what that speaks to us is that we need to stay awake, just like it said in the first song that we sang. We need to be alert. We need to be aware of God, and we need to be aware of the kingdom of God and our relationship with God. Jesus warned the disciples several times, watch, be alert, and watch out for the devil and his schemes, to pay attention to deception, because sin creates that deception. And God warned the Israelites many times to stand and to watch and to be on the lookout. And then in the New Testament, you have the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, which is another example of calling us to watch and to wait and to stand and to be prepared for when the bridegroom returns. And so this point here is warning us as well. It is a warning for us to wake up as a church, to stand, to be on the lookout, and to realize that Jesus Christ is going to return, and I believe that he will return sooner than what we think. The second fact that we need to notice, look at verse 34. Peter was still speaking when a cloud overshadowed him. And as they entered the cloud, they were overcome with awe. And then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Sometimes when we are struck in awe of the presence of Almighty God, we have a tendency to begin to talk, because what happens is we're uncomfortable and we don't know what else to do, you know, and God is present. And so we think we have to run around and do something, and we distract ourselves with talking. We need to learn to be still and to be quiet before God, to be still and to know that God is in control. We don't like silence, because silence creates an awareness in each of us that something isn't quite right, that we have sin in our life, that there is brokenness in our life, and that we are in need of God. And so when that silence occurs, when that awareness occurs, we become uncomfortable and we talk, just as Peter was talking. And his talking was a distraction to what God was about to do. Peter's talking was Peter trying to be in control. Oh, let's fix this up here. Let's have these shrines. And God basically interrupted Peter. Peter was still talking when God showed up on the scene, and he interrupted him and he said, "This is my son. Listen to him." It's kind of like, Peter, what you've got to say really didn't have any sustenance whatsoever. You need to close your mouth and you need to listen to my son. Church, are we listening to Jesus? Now, I'm going to reveal a few more things to you, so stay with me. I want to give you the next part of this powerful message that God has for us. God's people, the chosen people, the Jews, the Israelites, they were in a time of transition. All of the laws, the Ten Commandments, the rituals, the worship at the temple, the rituals and the rules, all of those things were about to be transformed. And everything that was of any good to a Jew, that a good Jew knew and understood, was about to be turned completely upside down. And if you'll remember, the disciples were Jews too, and things were being turned upside down for them as well. The disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had listened to his teachings. They had experienced the miracles that had taken place. And now Jesus is up on this mountain, and he has been transformed before them. And after that moment, these events, at that very moment, what that means, that these events, is that God is now taking the covenant and restoring it to God's people. And that covenant was written with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the reason why that is important is I want you to think about what I just said, that at that moment, that covenant coming into place, the covenant with God, the people being united with God because of the blood of Jesus, and now think back of a very similar story in Exodus. I will not read it, but I want you to write it down so you can go back and read it yourself. It's Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35. And what it's basically saying there is Moses is the one who is interceding for the nation of Israel, just as Jesus is the one who intercedes on our behalf. And it seems that God's chosen people were in a bad habit of worshiping idols. They had built those shrines. They were guilty of worshiping other idols in high places. And Moses meets God face to face upon the Mount Sinai, and Moses' face is transformed as God's presence and God's glory fills him. And the covenant of God restores the people when Moses comes down off of that mountain and he has the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments. Moses is God's intercessor, and he fills the gap between God and the Israelites. And when he encounters God, Moses' face changes physically. It is bright and shining with the glory of God. So here you have the story in Exodus, and what I want you to realize, the story here in Luke. The covenant of God is restored to the people in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is now our intercessor, just like Moses. Jesus goes up on the mountain to pray, just like Moses went up on the mountain to pray. And the appearance of his face changes and his clothes flash white, bright like lightning, just as Moses did. And the two men that were there were Moses and Elijah. And they were talking with Jesus, and they were clothed with that heavenly splendor as they talked to Jesus as well. And I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting because it's the same thing. What has in the Old Testament is now being fulfilled in the New. Jesus was about to go to Jerusalem to be crucified. And God wanted to reveal himself to the disciples so that they could understand this journey that Jesus was about to make to the cross. And I don't know about you, but that's a really a neat thing that God chose to do that, to let them know. And a cloud overshadows them just as it did in the Old Testament. And God reveals his glory just as he revealed it to Moses. God reveals his glory in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God himself. He came to reveal God's glory to us. And then God speaks to the disciples directly and he tells them, "This is my son, listen to him." See the transition that he's making? If you stop with the commandments, stop with what it is that if Moses, here's my son, listen to him. Moses represents the law of the Old Testament. It is the Old Covenant. Elijah represents the prophets of the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ fulfilled the law and the prophets by being the new covenant, which is what we are going to celebrate in Holy Communion. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Anointed One, the Messiah, has now arrived on the scene. Jesus explains this new covenant in the Last Supper with the disciples, which is what we're going to do here in a moment. And he tells them that he is the bread and the wine. He is the fulfillment of that Last Supper. So Jesus fills in the gap, and that's the transfiguration. That's the transition that we are talking about today. God is about to fulfill and to write the new covenant upon the people's hearts, where the old covenant was written upon what? The tablets. Okay, so do you see that, where it's being drawn together? But it gets better. Stay with me. Write down 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4. I'm not going to take time out to read it all. But read 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4. Because the Apostle Paul now is going to talk about what happened on Mount Sinai with Moses. And talking about the law, and that law wasn't any good, and that the glory was fading away. And then he brings it about with Jesus Christ being that one now. And that his glory lasts forever and it is eternal. But he doesn't leave it there, because Jesus Christ goes to sit at the right hand of God, and he said that he was going to send what? His promised Holy Spirit to us, okay? And so, and it says in 2 Corinthians in the chapters 3 and 4, it says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Lord's Spirit is, there is freedom, and all of us are looking with unveiled faces at the glory of the Lord. If we are looking in a mirror, we are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to the next degree of glory, and that comes from the Lord Himself in and through the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that, church? The same glory that Jesus Christ was transformed on that mount is in us. That's what that song was about. It's in us. And you need to realize that the same thing, the same empowerment that Jesus Christ has is in us as the body of Christ. And just as we sang, it's time to wake up. It's time to be the church. It's time to actually believe it and to function and to reveal that glory to a very dark world. Are you listening, church? That is exciting. Are you not excited about that? That's exciting news to me. Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4 that the light of the gospel is revealed in and through Christ's glory. Jesus Christ is the image of God. God's glory is manifested in His flesh. God knew that the letter of the law and the Ten Commandments were no good. He knew that we are sinful beings. But He also wanted to be able to bring us to Him and to restore that broken relationship. And He did that in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus' glory is brighter than Moses' glory. And it is will not fade. Jesus is the one who brings us to life. And His glorified life should be lived out in and through the body of Christ. What are you doing to bring glory and honor to God with your life? And when Jesus Christ becomes the center of our being, then we are transformed into the image of God. The more we allow God's word to have His way in our life, the more we are transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, and the more of His glory shines forth. If we wonder why things are not changing in our world, is our lights are not shining. We're not revealing the image of who Jesus Christ is, because I guarantee you in Scripture that every time God manifests on the place, people knew it. So what is not shining out of us, church, that it makes a difference in our world? So here is the call to us from God. We are to fill in the gap. Just exactly like Moses interceded for Israel, Jesus Christ has filled in the gap for us to restore us. We now have the call upon us to fill in that gap. Jesus fills the gap from sin to life. Jesus fills the gap from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. Jesus fills the gap from bondage to freedom. Jesus fills the gap from disease to healing. Jesus fills the gap from brokenness and separation to God to healing and restoration and being restored and new in Christ Jesus. Amen? Jesus has called us to do the same. Not only has He called us to do the same, He says that we will do even what? More. We will do even more. We are to fill in the gap. We are to fill in between one generation and the next. We are to fill in the gap from old dying ministries to new fresh ministries. We are to fill in the gap from a broken world to the kingdom of God. We are to fill in the gap from darkness into light. Are you ready to fill in the gap? And oh, by the way, I like to think the word GAP needs to be an acronym, G-A-P. And you know what it stands for? God's appointed people. And anointed, but God's appointed people. You are God's chosen race. You are God's appointed people. And you need to begin to believe that. And that we come together as one body and to begin to make a difference. And oh, by the way, it doesn't matter if you're on a mountain or if you're in the valley. God knows where you are. He is seeking you out. He will meet you where you are. You will encounter Him, and Jesus Christ will be manifested in and through you. And that is so what is so wonderful about Holy Communion, because Holy Communion is God's grace given to us. If you think about it, in the communion liturgy, which we are about to read, the prayer in it says, make this bread and juice be what? The body and blood of Jesus Christ. Transformation, transformation, transfiguration. This is what it's about. And today begins the journey from the mountain to the cross. That's what Ash Wednesday is for, is to get us ready for that Lenten journey. And I want you to be faithful in responding to that and actually taking that journey, because, oh, will Easter be so sweet, if you will. But you cannot experience the resurrection until you come, go to the mountain, go to the valley, walk through, experience the cross, and then the resurrection. And so that's what it's all about. This is my favorite time of the year, is this season in our lives. And so God's appointed people, you gap people. And that's easy to remember, isn't it? To fill in the gap. Get your Methodist hymnal out and turn to page 12. And we'll prepare our hearts and lives to receive Holy Communion. And my prayer is that you will experience the glory of God in and through Holy Communion, that your hearts will be transfigured, will be transformed, and that you really will answer the call to fill in the gap, to be God's appointed people. Wouldn't it be cool to have t-shirts that says Gap? And that's not the name brand. Isn't there a name brand? There is a fancy little name brand called Gap, but that's not what that's about. All right, here's the invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Please join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit. Do you see the new covenant? You see the transition? And so on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took the bread, and he gave thanks for that bread, and he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. As often as you eat of this bread, do it in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. See, Jesus being the body and the blood, Jesus took the cup. He gave thanks. He gave it to his disciples and he said, drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood, the new covenant poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. And as often as you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. That's why we need to wake up and be watchful. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. There it is. There's the commission, what we just heard in that sermon. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So those who are going to help serve communion, will you please come? And I'm asking the musicians to come as well. And I will serve you. And then the ushers will guide the rest of you to be able to come and to receive. While they're coming, I am reminding you that this is Christ's table and all are invited.
grave. Christ is risen from the dead. We are one with Him again. Come awake, come awake. Come and rise up from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. The glory of God has defeated the night. Sing, oh, death, where is your sting?
I was a little bit enthusiastic, but I love it when I see a common theme and thread throughout Scripture. And we had it in the Old Testament, we had it in the Gospels, and then the Epistles. Would you say God is speaking? Amen. So go forth this day with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the love of God, and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go forth. Thank you.
Surrounding me, I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. I can't walk down this dark and painful road. I can't face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, is in us, is in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, is in us, is in us. He lives in us, lives in us. Greater is He that is living in me. He's conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. Oh, and greater is He that is living in me. He's conquered our enemy. Oh, no power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. Oh, in victory. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power.